Blog Talk Radio.
We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba.
This is TwoBlackSheepRadio.com with Bob Granger and Dave Wilkerson. We're being a black sheep is a good thing. You never know what they're going to say.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Dave Wilkerson. It's going to be an interesting Thursday night, to say the least. I'm feeling a little under the weather. My co-host had all of his blood work done today, getting ready for his knee replacement. That's going to be an interesting time for sure. And both of us were saying, you know, do you just feel it? Do we want to fake it tonight? And we said, you know what? That's one of the things that we've always disliked when people would say, you got to fake it till you make it. Sometimes you got to know when to just bag it. You got to know when to just say, it's not going to happen tonight. But we also looked at some of the archive, and one of our favorite shows was our 50th, our birthday bash. And we had our good friend Damian Pekopchek, and I can say that right now. We had him on, and his story was just inspiring. So I'm going to splice part of that in with this, and we'll sprinkle it with some other information here and there. And we're going to make it a decent show for you tonight. But for all of our listeners, thank you for understanding. You know, sometimes you just don't feel it. And maybe that's when, you know, you don't go out and present. You don't go out and prospect. Instead, what you do is you hang with your family, you hang with your friends. You get yourself in a better frame of mind. So knowing how we feel about all of you, we hope you feel the same. And hold on and listen to this very inspiring story for those who have never heard it. And for those who heard it before, you'll love hearing it again. Hold tight.
Beginning today, treat everyone you meet as if they were going to be dead by midnight. Extend to them all the care, kindness, and understanding you can muster, and do it with no thought of any reward. Your life will never be the same again. Og Mandino. What an awesome quote. I need to implement that immediately.
I just love that. You know, and I tell you, it's a distinct pleasure for me tonight to be able to introduce my great friend Damian Pekopchek. You know, I'm probably going to leave a few things out, but I'm going to go through just a few things to give you an idea, all you listeners, of what's going on with Damian. You know, he has several business interests with his brother and with obviously his business partner Sean. You know, wait a minute. He only has seven children. I think other than toddler, he's got everything covered. He's got a newborn. You know, like he has him in grade school, middle school, high school, college. I mean, if you think about it, here's another thing. He's a top 15 income earner in one of the fastest growing network marketing businesses in the world. Think about it. He's a God-fearing man who is extremely active in his church. Wait a minute. Here's a few other things. He's a world and nationally recognized champion in scores of tournaments, arm wrestling. Little side note, which we probably won't get into tonight, that paid for his college and his finesse and grace on a pool table also helped finance his college education. Here's another thing. He was third place in a Mr. Universe contest, and he's currently in training for another. In fact, maybe tonight we can touch on how to maximize your life. I can go on and on about my good friend Damian, and he was our first guest host. But, Damian, I want to welcome to you to our birthday and the 50th show, and I'd like you to just say hello to our listeners, and then I have just a couple of questions for you.
Oh, thanks, Bob. I'm so excited to be here. What an honor. I can't believe you guys invited me back, but I'm so thankful and grateful for it. I know I'm probably going to get beat up, but I'm excited. Congratulations to you guys. 50th show. I mean, what you guys are doing for the industry is incredible. I just love the energy and everything you've done on the shows, and I think it's just awesome, a testament to y'all's leadership. It's fantastic to go from startup to over 5,000 listeners on a weekly basis is incredible. So hats off to you guys, and congratulations. I'm looking forward to the next year. It's going to be spectacular.
Well, thanks, Dave.
But I'm happy to be here, Bob. I really am. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And I tell you, I can still remember sitting on Dave's deck at his lake house and us talking about it. And to think it's been a year now, it's something we're excited about, you know. But anyway, I do have a couple of questions for you. And Dave has paused over the mute button. I know it. And so I'm going to get right down to serious stuff. I mean, originally, Dave and I were talking about it, you know, and the first question we talked about was, which I'm not going to ask. You know, we talked about, you know, hey, you having seven children, and did you really realize what causes that, you know? And we didn't want to broach that subject because we're not a Howard Stern's type of a show, so that question's out. But one of the questions I had, and this is kind of a legitimate question, you know, like Dave and I had such a great time with you and Sean when we were at convention and really enjoyed our time with you, you know. And at that time, you were sharing with me some of your arm wrestling techniques. And I couldn't believe it. It was, I mean, obviously you had a little trouble with me, but when we put our arms up, you were kind of like trying to move an 8-inch tree trunk, you know. I mean, it's just... Most people would have difficulty with that. I don't have a problem with that, but the thing was, it was an impossible thing to do. So anyway, you were showing me these different things, and my question is this: you know, I've seen you in action, Dave has seen you in action, and I've seen you in action with big, studly guys. Most recently, I saw you arm wrestle a guy that probably outweighed you by 80 pounds, thick in the chest, huge shoulders, huge arms, and you put him down with no problem, and he smiled at you and said, "Well, I'm left-handed," and you said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm right-handed. Well, let's just try it left-handed," and it was the same exact result, and so he kind of walked away slump-shouldered, and the woman with him was equally as slump-shouldered. And so my question is, over the time you've been into this athletic sport, this tremendous sport, a difficult sport, when you beat on all these big guys, do you feel any remorse?
Oh, only you, Bob. I tell you what, that is a great question. Oh, I'm so happy you asked that question. I really don't. Nope. Don't feel even a little bit but remorse about that.
Okay.
I don't. I think it's fantastic, you know. They just shouldn't underestimate the little guy.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing to watch and witness, But anyway, I want to get to some real good stuff here, Damien. You know, I personally have been a very blessed individual. I have a wonderful family. I have tremendous friends. And I've also, you know, and I've mentioned it before on our show, I've had some great mentors in my life. A gentleman named Jack Olin. Dave Wilkerson is a tremendous mentor to me. A gentleman named Davey Moore is a great mentor. You are a tremendous mentor to me, but probably my greatest mentor ever was my father. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. I was blessed with tremendous, tremendous parents, and I understand obviously, Damien, you know, you're very into personal development, and many times that starts at a young age, and I'm also to understand. That your father was very instrumental in your life. And I'd love to, and I know our listeners would love to know a little bit about, you know, that background and that foundation that was formulated, you know, for you by your parents. Could you tell us about
sure.
that? Take your time.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. That's a pretty emotional topic for me, but I'll definitely fill you in on some of that. Like you, I've had a lot of mentors as well. In fact, I think having mentors is very important for people and their success. And I was very blessed, as you were, to have a father and parents in general. But my dad really was quite an inspiration to me. A little backstory on that. Dad grew up in Bernie, where we live now, and he went to Texas A&M. And he lettered in 5 sports while he was there. Which is pretty good at a D1 college. He was a 5-sport letterman, and then when he got out of college, he wanted to go into the Navy, but while he was at A&M, he was in the Corps of Cadets, and he ended up deciding instead of getting a commission, he wanted to do sports, so he ended up moving to the athletic dorm and actually did 5 different sports, which is pretty crazy. But when he got out, he then had a little turn in his life, and he went to the seminary he for 2 years and just explored that area of his life to just see if maybe that was a path he wanted to take and become a priest. And that didn't work out. He decided not to go down that, and he ended up getting into the military, and he became a Navy SEAL. And for, you know, a lot of you on the call probably understand what it takes to become a SEAL. It's pretty crazy. He was in SEAL Team 1 back in the 60s, early on in the SEALs, and went over to Vietnam, and he was a lieutenant in the Navy, and he actually became, Bob, one of the first critically wounded SEALs in U.S. history. In fact, I think he was the first. They came around a bend in the river, I think it was the Saigon River, or the Mekong, I can't remember, but came around the bend. They came into an ambush, and he gets on a 50 caliber machine gun, and a mortar hit it, and it blew up in his face. And fortunately, his teammates were able to get out of the ambush, and they came over to Dad and saw he was laying on the deck. Half of his skull was literally missing. His brains were laying out on the deck. He wasn't breathing. They rolled him over and actually saw that his other lung was moving. So, you know, and he ended up being alive, and they got him out. I mean, I can't imagine being in the jungle, right? Back in the 60s, your brain, they put his brain back into his head, and they got him out of that area and kept him alive somehow. He slipped into a coma. They got him back to San Diego, Coronado. He was in a coma for 90 days. They actually pronounced him dead 5 different times. 5 different times they said he was dead, called Grandma to tell her, and 5 different times he ended up living and coming out of whatever they thought he was dead, which is a miracle all in itself. They told him he'd never have children, which obviously ended up not being the case. So, you know, Dad was just, he was just a miracle. He ended up being, half of his skull was fiberglass, the technology they had back then. They kind of put that back together. He set off every radar detector in every airport he ever went into with all the shrapnel in his body. He was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And he ended up meeting my mom, and they got married and had 3 boys. And so, you know, we grew up getting to hear stories about Dad and about Hell Week and the SEALs and all that good stuff, and just his attitude and his never quit attitude and do whatever it takes attitude and, you know, working hard and those types of things, but also his strong dedication to his faith and his commitment to family. And it was just very, very, very incredible. You know, he wasn't real hard on us unless it came to things like saying we can't, or
or those types of things. He didn't like that. There's just no such thing as you can't. So that was a bad. That was the worst four-letter word in our house growing up for sure. I'll never forget Bob going to the pool. He was on the diving. The sports where he was on the diving team, the gymnastics team, the cross country team, the swim team, and the water polo team. Those were the things that he did at A&M. Traveling teams for all of them. And so he used to teach us how to dive by sitting on the side of the pool in his wheelchair. And we'd get up on, me and my little brothers, you know, I'd get up there and do a dive, and I'll never forget, you know, I hit my foot on the board one time, and I busted when I hit the water, and I was crying, and I didn't want to get back in the pool, and he told me to get back on the board, and I was crying and didn't want to, and he raised it. I mean, he put his hands on his wheelchair, and he raised his whole body out of the wheel, out of his wheelchair and said, "You get back on the board." And so I did. I got back on the board, and sure enough, the next dive was fantastic, you know. So, I mean, he was just it was just a very interesting way he had about him when it came to those types of things. He was obviously very competitive, so I think, you know, my brothers and I, we got our competitive nature from him. But I'll tell you what, Bob, when he, you know, he shared so many wonderful things with me through the years, and how to be a man and how to be, you know, how to really care for people and treat people and those types of things. It just had a big impact on me. But I'll never forget whenever he ended up dying, actually, a while back, which I never thought would happen, but he did. And I apologize for getting a little emotional on that. It was just it was a weird time in my life. You know, Dad was, he was actually, my mom and Dad ended up getting divorced, and they had both got remarried. And Dad moved to Florida, and I'll never forget, I got a call from my stepmom saying that Dad didn't wake up, and so they took him in a helicopter to the hospital, and he had had his carotid artery was severed from back in Vietnam, and it had formed a bubble, and it finally busted, and it went up into his brain. I guess he had an aneurysm kind of deal and bleeding on the brain, and he slipped into a coma and stroke and everything, and so he was in the intensive care for about 37 days, and he was on life support, and it came time to, the doctor said, we need to pull the plug because he's brain dead and, you know, that kind of deal. So she fortunately called us, and so me and my brothers went to Florida to be with him to help her decide on all that stuff. And so anyway, we walked in, and seeing, you know, this hero of a man just in that shape, it just hurt me. I mean, we're talking about somebody that won the wheelchair Olympics bench pressing 485 pounds without being able to use his legs. I mean, just an actual, just Herculean guy to being all withered up in this bed and being in a coma. And you know what? His heart rate went up a few ticks whenever he heard my little brother's voice. And I just looked at that doctor and said, have you read his file? I go, you guys have already tried to put him in the ground 5 times. I think he's earned this bed, because they wanted the bed. I think he's earned the bed, and I think you ought to let him fight, because he's obviously done it so many times before. And I don't think he's dead. I don't think he's brain dead. I think you just need to deal with it. Let him be here. And so sure enough, they did. They weren't happy. I kind of had some words with the doctor, and about 60 days later, Bob, he came out of the coma. He ended up getting off life support, learning how to talk again, got full function of his body, and went home. So just the will, just the sheer will, the faith, the fight in that man. I mean, if I learned anything, it's just never giving up. Never giving up on your dream. Never giving up on whatever it is you set your mind to do, and just give it all you got. So I remember I ran my first marathon a few years back, and I got to about mile 16, and I was dying, and all I could think about was Dad. And all I could think about was, what would he do? And I tell you what, I didn't stop. So he's had a big impact in my life in so many different ways. Just his whole spirit, everything about him. It's just a great, I wish you could have met him. Just a wonderful, wonderful human being. And when he died, I went to the Navy SEAL Museum in Florida, and the SEALs swam his ashes out to sea. It was a beautiful beachside service. And I'll tell you what, sitting around for 2 days with all these just hardcore Navy SEAL guys that were buddies of his back in Vietnam, and hearing the stories that they said about Dad, and all the things that he did, and the orphanages that he helped while he was over there, and just his character and who he was, and how he never drank or smoked or any of those kind of things, and that's had a big impact on me. One of the reasons why I don't drink, not a lot of people know that, but I chose not to drink alcohol because the doctor told my grandma the only reason this man is alive today is because he was in such great physical and mental shape, and the fact that he didn't drink or smoke, and he was just such great condition is the only reason he lived, and just stuck with me. So I just, like, okay, it's easy, I just won't drink. But to hear the stories of these other grown men that were just hard-charging Navy SEALs in Vietnam with Dad, seeing him on a day-to-day basis, and just validating everything I knew to be true about him had such an impact on me as well. Just the integrity and the character and the way you need to carry yourself and be, regardless of the situation or where you're at. So anyway, I don't mean to ramble on that, Bob, and go on and on, but yeah, I would say Dad was quite a inspiration to me and a mentor, and I'm always trying to live up to, you know, to the standards that he raised us. Pretty tough at times.
I'll tell you, Damien, that could be, I think it is, the most inspirational and riveting story that I've ever heard. Man, that's awesome. And you being such a great friend of mine, and Dave's and so many others, of course, that to know that was your foundation, that was your father, you know, and what he taught you. There's no surprise to me after listening to that, and there's going to be some times when we sit down, and I need to hear some of these great stories about your dad. You know, my dad was in World War II, and he's a flight engineer, and I have some great stories we'll share. But boy, to hear that, Damien, man, that's just tremendous. I love hearing that, and there's no question on what kind of basis your dad set for you and your brothers, you know, and it's a tremendous thing, just a tremendous thing.
Well, thank you. It's pretty cool. I don't get to talk about that very often, so I appreciate you for asking.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Damien, you know, there's many things. I know that Charlie's going to be coming on pretty soon to ask you a couple of things, but While we're waiting, Damien, you know, when I introduced you, I put
here it comes. Yep. I can mute him if you need me to, Damien. Just give me the signal. I'll mute Bob.
No. This is easy, Dave. This is easy.
Okay,
trust
okay,
me.
Go ahead.
When I introduced you, I mean there's you pack. I mean, Dave packs a lot into life. I pack a lot into life. I mean, I know a lot of people that pack a lot into life. But I'm telling you, Damien, I don't think I know anyone that packs as much into a week as you do. So kind of give us an idea of your thought process about that. I mean, you're always rocking and rolling, on the move, doing this, doing that, 7 children, a wonderful wife, Michelle, you know, that obviously you definitely got the better end of that deal. I'm just wondering, how do you find the time to do all this stuff? I mean, think about what, good heavens. That's impressive to me.
I was thinking about that actually the other day, and it's kind of overwhelming. If you think about it too much, it becomes overwhelming.
you know, it all started about a year ago when Dave made me talk about a Damien Day, and then I realized I need to change that.
What?
No, it's you know, I mean I've just been blessed, Bob. The easiest way to do it, it's, I mean, I married up. My wife is superhuman. She is unbelievable, the things that she can do and the way that she does them, raising the kids. I mean, having the kids at home and then homeschooling kids and all these types of things. But, you know, I do stay very, very busy, and it wouldn't be possible if I didn't have Michelle, and if Michelle wasn't so supportive of me and what I do and when it relates to business, whether it's working out, personal time, whatever needs to be done. She understands that I'm a big believer in balance, you know, and you got to have it, you know, in all areas of your life. And so I really do my best to try to get it all in as often as I can, and she's what allows that to happen. It's just fantastic because, you know, a lot of people that come over and visit us, they don't understand how I can do what I do. How does Michelle let me go to the gym for an hour or two every day or do this or do that or do this or do that? And it's, we just have this relationship and this understanding, and it's all truly because of her. But you're right. I do pack a lot in. That's for sure. I squeeze it in. I don't get a lot of sleep, but I squeeze a lot in.
Well, let me ask you another question too, Damien. You know, over your life, you know, you've been very successful. Everybody's had, and I know that you've had a few setbacks in your life when you've bounced back hard on that. But you've also been very successful in network marketing. How has that affected your life, the network marketing industry, with you and your partner? You have a great partner. He's a tremendous guy. How's that affected you? I mean, over the years, because you've done it along with everything else, all of your other interests, you've done it, and you've done it very successfully. So if you could kind of give us a little opinion on that and maybe why you've been so incredibly successful at it along with everything else that you do.
Sure. You know, once you get bit by the network marketing bug and that residual income, and it's one of the most addicting things ever, and it can change your life tremendously. When I was younger and I was in college, Bob, I went and I sold books door to door for the Southwestern Company, and it was very, very tough. I had to go literally knock on doors for several days asking somebody if I can live with them for the summer. And then I had to go door to door 80 hours a week selling books. It was a summer program. It was a job. I learned a lot. But the big thing I learned there is I learned about personal development. I learned about reading and learning how to grow mentally and getting stronger mentally. And that was my start to personal development. And then when I got out of college, I got a call and I got introduced to network marketing. And I said, man, that sounds easy. I got started. And I tell you what, it forced me to continue to grow as a person. It really, I learned early on that the only way this was going to work is if I became a better and better and better leader, which meant I had to continue to learn and continue to grow as a person and become more of a people person and these types of things. And it's affected my life in so many ways because it's really been, you know, you hear it a lot, but it has been the journey. It's the journey of becoming the person you need to be in order to achieve the success that you want. And you know, it's been a process, and it hasn't always been easy, but it's having that attitude and filling your mind with the right things and staying positive and really just focusing on all the good that can come with this industry. And I tell you what, that the residual income, not just all the lives that you can change and those types of things that we all talk about, but your life, how it changes. I mean, it's allowed us and afforded us to do so many things, Bob. It's nice to know that you can focus on living your life instead of having to just focus on making a living. I know
it sounds kind of funny when you talk about that, but when the income is up to a point where it's covering all your bills and you have some excess or whatever, and you're experiencing that, and you're able to then put all your time into your family if that's what you want, or, you know, whatever it is that you do, it's life-changing. I mean, it is absolutely life-changing. And for us, I mean, it's done wonderful things. It's done absolutely glorious things for my relationship with my wife, for being the dad that I want to be, for my children, you know, making it to all the different sporting events and activities that just, they're just mind-boggling how many different things are going on at every single day at our house. To different business, you know, it allows me to invest some money in some different business interests and get into some diversity, and it's just been spectacular, Bob. But I attribute most of the success that I've been able to have in this industry to personal development. I think is very, very, very key. Putting that personal development into action, I think, is probably more of a key, because I think too many people just read a lot and they don't really apply what they read. And, you know, just not giving up and having the confidence and knowing that I can be successful and just going for it. Plus, I just get super hyper competitive.
Well, Damien, let me ask you a question about personal development. I mean, obviously, there's many, many people, you know, that, you know, have taken a beating in their life, you know,
sure.
and they've had it tough and difficult, and they don't think there's any place to go, and so sometimes people, they'll sign up into a network marketing business hoping it'll turn things, and then they just don't have that intestinal fortitude, you know, in order to keep going. What would you recommend to that person that really hasn't had a chance or has had difficulty in their life? What would you recommend in order for them to start on their way back and develop that and really hone in on that personal development and develop into a leader? Because I think every person can. I honestly do. And some will have a little more difficult road, you know, to traverse than others, but what would you recommend? Because you've been so successful at it.
Sure. As far as like a plan of action of what to do?
Yeah, a plan of action or the thought process. I mean, anything. I mean, we have many listeners here that are, and I believe that like Dave and I, our goal has always been to hopefully have something said that changes their life, you know, and it's people like you that can do that. That could be that one sentence. So how would you direct somebody like that?
Well, you know, I think when you're having challenges like that, Bob, I think it really comes down to really the four beliefs. You know, you got to have belief in the industry, and this is more of a gut check. You know, and I'll just let people know. You have to ask yourself: do you believe in the industry of network marketing? One, and then you usually say yes. Okay, well, do you believe in the company? Right? Do you believe in the product or the service? Those are three of the beliefs, and then the last one really comes down to: do you believe in yourself? And I'd say 99 times out of 100, it falls into the belief in themselves for whatever reason, you know, whether it's the way they were raised or just hard times and they just feel snake bit or whatnot. So it's usually that. And so with that comes, you know, it's a slower process. It's not just an overnight deal where all of a sudden you just make a decision and all of a sudden you have all this self-confidence. I mean, I guess some people can do that. I don't see it very often. And then I usually encourage them to get into more of a personal growth situation. You know, back when I was mainly doing that, we didn't have like John Maxwell's book of the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, which now is what I would recommend somebody kind of getting started with, because it really teaches people how to get set up on a journey of personal growth and the journey of learning, and it's really creating the right habits. Finding a mentor, I highly recommend that, somebody they can visit with on a regular basis and just kind of keep them accountable and kind of guide them. It doesn't always need to be, you know, me. It can be anyone. But, you know, it's really having them understand that it's going to take a commitment and take time, and they've got to really want to change, and they've got to really want to become a better person, you know, in all different ways. And really, it's a lot of it's a lot of self-evaluation. You know, everybody's a little bit different. But I think the first thing is just accepting the fact that that's where we need to work, and we need to put the time in. And then if they're open to that and willing to go down that road, then I recommend some books or some audios or some different things that may have an impact on them. Does that make sense? I mean, it could even come down to spiritually and those types of things as well. It's not always just the secular side of it, but it really does depend on how bad do they really want it. I mean, network marketing isn't the quick fix to everybody's problems. That's for sure. But if you embrace the journey, and if you embrace becoming the person you need to be in order to be successful in this business, it's life-changing. And I think that's kind of where the big disconnect is, Bob. I mean, I early on in my network marketing career, I mean, I've been over 20 years now in the industry, I got so passionate about that part of the deal that if people weren't engaged in some type of personal development program, if they weren't reading regularly or listening to some tapes or CDs that and constantly trying to grow as a person, or whether it's industry related or just in general personal development, then I did not want to work with them, because my attitude was pretty simple. It's like, Bob, look, if you're not going to work on yourself and develop yourself from the inside out, and you're not going to invest the time in yourself, why should I invest with you? Because I know that if you're not going to do that, you're not going to be here in a year or two. So why should I waste my time right now?
Well,
and
that was
the attitude. So
yep.
My attitude was, I'm not going to work with you unless you work on yourself. Because if you're really telling me that you want to make it to the top, then that's the only way you're going to get there. So if you're not going to be willing to do that, then I just don't have time.
Well, Damien,
pretty hard message to deliver,
yep.
but I was, whew.
But here's the good news.
Because it changed for me.
I love it. I love it very much. But here's the good news. Are you ready for the good news? Charlie Melchner, our fellow black sheep, is holding and dying to get a piece of you.
Oh,
so we're gonna turn this over to Charlie. We got a little bit more time, you know. Damien, thank you so much. Charlie, take it, man.
I tried to run the clock out. I didn't make it. Hey, Charlie.
Charlie, you out there?
Well, he may have fallen sound asleep. I opened his mic up, so I'm going to mute him for a second. And let me just say a couple quick things. Again, Bob, I appreciate you really taking over tonight. You've done a great job with Damien. I knew you'd be gentle with him, and I knew he needed that, you know. But you know, Damien, I just want to ask something. To me, for a lot of people, they will always, you know, question this, because we hear this all the time in network marketing about, should I or shouldn't I work with a partner? Now, I'm going to give you a little breather, knowing that there's no 100% answer. Sometimes it's great, like a marriage, right? But how has it
sure.
been with you going through and working with a partner in case someone chooses to go that route?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I mean, we're very blessed. We've got a fantastic partnership
we actually steer the majority of people away from it because it's just it's very complicated in the network marketing business for the traditional, typical, as people think of partnerships. And, you know, all joking aside, Sean and I really do treat our partnership more like a marriage, you know. We're not keeping score. We're not worried about I know for sure that he has our business best interest in mind and vice versa, and we're not worried about, well, I did more here or you did more there or you're supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do that, and we've got it all goes into one pot, and we split the money, and it's pretty simple, you know. But we're on the same page on so many things. We're on the same page when it comes to money. We're on the same page when it comes to our faith and spirituality and our morals and the way we want to live our life. And so it's fantastic. And so I if you have that perfect situation, then I think it's awesome. It's very, very, very fun. But if not, I don't recommend it. I've seen more partnerships fall apart in network marketing than have made mm-hmm. it, that's for sure. And unless you can really be very selfless and really
right.
not, then it won't work. And I'll give you an example.
That knocks out most of the people.
Yeah, you know, and like for Sean and I, just to give you an example, just to let you into a little bit of our personal situation. Early on when we were partners, he was single and I was married with, I don't know, probably 4 kids at the time. and you know what? We had different income requirements to run our different families, right? Obviously, he didn't mm-hmm. do much as a single guy. And you know what? Just to give you an idea of what I mean by selflessness and we're not keeping score, it was all about, hey, we just got to make sure the family stays afloat. So if I needed $7,000 and he needed $3,000 and we made $10,000, guess what? I got $7,000, he got $3,000, and that's just the way it was. Because we had to cover the nut of the family. And it was that way for years until the money got so big we could just cut it down the middle and it didn't matter.
Well, that's always the goal, right? But you're right. I mean, I could see you having to have a great relationship, just like in a good marriage, right? And I'm not one to talk about good marriages, but it's obvious that you know how to do both, which is amazing. But I know that I'm going to ask the same question of your partner, Sean, when we bring him on as well. You know, but I know that that's a question that comes up all the time for people. You know, they say, should I? And I say, well, if you're married, of course. You know, but if it's someone that you think you'd like to work with, well, you know, again, what's your relationship, right? How long have you known the person? And it's tough to find
right.
that. So I was curious as to, you know, I thought I knew the answer from you.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear it direct from you.
Yeah, we typically don't recommend it.
Well, and just like I don't normally recommend doing this, and I'm going to try to get Charlie one more time. I'm breaking my rules. Normally I don't reward bad behavior. But, you know, Charlie is I love him to death. So I'm going to try to open his mic back up again, and let's see if we get him. And if not, I'm taking over. So hold on 1 second. Hey, Charlie, do we have you this time?
Can you hear me this time?
Yeah,
baby.
There you go. It's all yours. Go ahead, guys.
Listen, bad behavior, I don't know. I think that's what the show is all about. But I was on before. I think we got to talk to the studio. They were having some technical problems there or something. That's all. But I didn't want to stay up for long. But I was excited to get on because just spending some time with Damien a couple weeks ago, I know he probably wasn't thrilled that I was calling in after our last conversation. But, Damien, you know I like to have some fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well,
yes, I
got to tell you, I enjoy spending time with you. And, you know, when I listened to the call tonight, I was at a meeting myself working as hard as I could on network marketing tonight, trying to build my business and help some other people succeed at the same time. And, you know, every time I talk to you, I'm impressed by the way you speak and everything that you're doing. It really is. And I thought long and hard as we were listening about what could we actually ask you that the guys didn't ask. And I said, you know, we could talk about what would you do and your recommendations and being a partner and all these different things. And you know what I kept hearing was that all I kept hearing was you were going ahead and talking about network marketing. And I guess my point was is that I feel from everything I heard tonight is that you're just a big believer in network marketing for what it does for people. And kind of the belief that what Dave and Bob started with the show is that just trying to help people and network marketing does that. And that's kind of what I was saying. Is that what your thought is? Is just when you get coupled up with the right company that does all the stuff, you think that's really what it is? Network marketing is just good for people? Is that your opinion, your idea? What do you think?
I do think that. I think it's the greatest opportunity out there for the average person, for sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah, you're just not going to find the opportunity to get that kind of leverage. You know, where anybody, any walk of life can become successful. I mean, it's a wide open book for anybody that wants it. If they want it, they can get it. And that's the beauty of network marketing. And it really can change people's lives in a big, 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 big way, Charlie. But I think the misconception for most people, like I said earlier, is they think it's a get-rich-quick deal, or they think that all they got to do is sign up and the rest is going to happen. And in reality, it's life-changing if you're willing to change your life and
sure.
actually get committed to it.
Sure. Well,
and if
sure.
you do and you start to experience that, which like you have,
yep.
then, it can really help people a lot.
Yeah, it
especially
is
especially if you have the right company in the right industry.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, I listened in, and I don't want to take a lot of time because you really did a great job. When I was listening, though, that's what I was taking away, and I wanted to take a second and concentrate on that idea. But, the only thing I'll say is I know everybody talked about your accolades, your awards, you're a family man, and everything you've got going on. And I just hope people, that the thousands and thousands of people that listen into this call and see what's going on, they understand the success that you had didn't come by luck. It came from hard work, and it came from dedication. And I hope they understand, hearing you talk about being 20 years in network marketing, I hope they understand that the power of the information you're giving to everybody tonight, because I know I take it seriously. When I hear someone like you, I can remember being out in the audience at Ambition one year and listening to you speak, and it was just thrilling, exhilarating, and, then not knowing your background and then meeting you backstage another time and just having a difficult time with your last name before I was able to even bring you out. But just having the time to meet you and understand who you are and what you bring, I hope everybody on the call realizes just what a tremendous man you are, and a businessman as well, and a family man. But I hope they take it to heart that they realize that this is coming from someone who has achieved some of the highest levels in network marketing. And I hope they all do. And I mean that with all sincerity, that I really respect you and what you've done. And heck, thanks for taking the time tonight. And I'm just going to sit back and listen to what else you guys have to say. But Dave and Bob, thanks for the opportunity as always. Love the show, and we have such a great time. And Damien, I can't wait to see you soon. And congratulations on all the success. And I will talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, Charlie. I really enjoyed getting to hang out with you at the pool at Ambition. That was awesome, man. I appreciate you.
Okay, so you were hanging out at the pool. I already muted Charlie. That way he can't respond back. But so you were hanging out at the pool. I hear you say that you no longer do the Damien Day, because that was I formed my whole life around that over the last year.
Well, I still get those in. Don't get me wrong. They're just not 4 or 5 times a week.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I'm only doing like 2 days a week, but with my heart issues,
yeah.
And again, I feel like a wimp now after listening to and talking to you. But I every time I go to the movies, I'd be sitting back and I'd be going, if Damien does this, I can do this, And I gotta move that in all the other aspects of my life, because I mean, what I will say to you, especially what is your story tonight. I've always said you're a humble, consistent, driven, ethical, morally sound, all those things that you look to hang around. They always say find people that are better than what you are. And with Granger, we were sort of parallel, but with you, you're definitely, I feel I can learn from you, and I learn from you in a way that's I don't see you as preaching to me. I see you as teaching and leading, and I hope that people pick that up tonight, that that's a lot of what you do. You just live a good, solid, hardworking life, and other people, they just pattern and try to do a little bit of what you do,
they can have success, right? I mean, and that, what this is all about, focused enough to have some success in the beautiful business we're in.
I appreciate that. No, it's exactly that. I mean, but that goes with anything in your life. I think you gotta walk the walk, right? I mean, you need to put in the effort and put in the time, and it can change your life. And you know, you and Bob have been such great mentors for me too. I know I don't get to tell you that a lot, but y'all had a big impact on me over the last couple of years, and I really, really appreciate everything that you guys do and have done for me, and all the encouragement and the learning, and it's just been fantastic. You know, I'm such a young buck.
Well, you know,
when I'm around you guys, I really feel young.
Well, thanks a lot. You know, I feel the way. That's why I hang around with Bob a lot. You know, I feel really young. You know, but yeah. The bottom line behind all of this, though, is Damien, is that the profession that we've all chosen to excel in, to work in, to focus in, has led us to meet some incredible people. And I said this all along. I said, you know, I've always been able to make money. I know you've got other businesses. Bob does. Charlie does. A lot of our listeners do. But one thing that a traditional business doesn't have is it doesn't have the chance to get as close as we do in such a short period of time and sort of sift through and find the great people that you want to spend some time with. And that's why, you know, we look forward to hanging out with you and having dinner with you and chatting with you. So, I mean, that's what it's about. So I appreciate you joining us tonight. I was hoping to spend a little bit more time on the air, but it was a tough day, but it is our first birthday. But we are closing in on the end of the show. So if you want to just say one, I'll give you about 38 more seconds, and you can say goodbye to everybody. And we're going to have you back shortly. We're not going to wait a year. We're going to have you back in the next few months if you'll join us again. I think that'd be great.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed being on the show. And I just, again, I love what you guys are doing with this show. It's fantastic. I'm looking forward to the next year, and I wish everybody a tremendous week and a lot of success, and definitely take a hard look in the mirror and really decide how bad you want it, and then just go out and be willing to do what it takes to get it.
Well, like I said, wasn't that a great, great show? Our good friend Damien and his partner Sean Cornett, wonderful people. In fact, I've been promising to bring Sean back on, so we're going to try to do that pretty soon. Now, listen, everybody, we appreciate the fact you gave Bob and I a little bit of slack. We really needed it tonight, and we do appreciate that. We've got a great show coming up next week. It'll be our 71st show. We're going to talk about numbers. We're going to talk about how that impacts your business, everything from your accounting part of your business right up to the point about duplication. So it's going to be a good one, so make sure you get you and your team back on. We're going to be in good shape. We'll rest up. We'll be ready for you. And again, make sure you go in and tune to twoblacksheepradio.com. Go to the website. We've got a lot of great information there. And also, every single show is available to download at any time. So remember this, being a black sheep, not a bad thing. It just makes you a little bit more unique. We'll see you all later. Bye-bye.